This episode of The Instance is brought to you by the support of people like you at theinstance.net. Just click the support button and get all kinds of great physical and digital rewards every month by supporting your favorite podcast about Blizzard and World of Warcraft. That's theinstance.net. And thanks.
I was born ready.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is Instance episode, I don't even know, 562? Yeah, we screwed up the numbering in the last couple of weeks. I know. Thanks for all the emails. I knocked us down like 50 episodes for no good reason. It was a goof. It's fixed now. 562 is the correct number. It's great to be
was
here.
Was it?
Yes.
Or are you trying to inflate it now artificially to reach 1,000 more quickly?
I don't think
we should believe you just because you say that's what happened.
I went backwards in time, though. So I had it at like 540 something, and that somehow assumes that historically changes the fact that we had, I don't know, what, another 100 or 50 episodes that we've already had, and made it seem like we didn't have them. Mm-hmm. But we had them. We didn't do it last week because holiday and things and stuff, although Garrett valiantly tried to make something happen, and I did too, but then my internet went down. So it was real poop show last time. But hey, we're back.
The internet exploded.
It did. It was poopy and lame, but we are not. We are here. We are happy to be here. I'm Scott Johnson. I got my two pals with me, Garrett Weinzierl, and of course, Patrick Beja, who is here for a limited time. If he has to leave suddenly, I don't want anyone to be surprised. He's got a thing today, okay? So just give the French guy a break.
So either that, or I get really, really angry at something that you or Garrett says, and I'm like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right.
I can't. Oh, God, please tell me that's how you're going to exit.
I would love it. A rage exit from Patrick? That'd be fun.
Well, so good. It might happen.
Okay. Hold on to your butts, everybody. This is going to be a wild ride. All right. Well, it's good to have you here. Here's something you said once. Hold on.
F it. I'm just going to say it.
Okay. There we go. I don't know why I played that. That was just that was in front of me. I thought, why not? Let's just play it. It's a good time. Hey, so anyway, it is the holidays. We're entering the Christmas time, and we just finished the American Thanksgiving period there. And I was just curious about how we handle our holidays and gaming in particular, what we do with Blizzard games during that time. So this will be brief. But before we do that, two things. Patrick, you have a question about WoW. I want to answer that, and then I want to talk about a WoW thing that Garrett's doing that I'm dying to hear about. So Patrick first.
I think we should do the Garrett thing first.
You want to flip it? All right, we'll do that. We'll do that. Okay. Oh, it's more important. I see. Okay. Garrett, you've got a little sneaky project going on, and you're going to tell us what it is.
Yeah, man. So I've been talking to one of my favorite creators for a while now, off and on, about doing a project together, and it has finally come together. I just launched a new podcast. It is hot on the iTunes store as of today. It is called WoW Killer. It's kind of cheeky and funny,
yeah,
in that way.
Yeah.
But I'm doing a WoW podcast with one Taliesin of Taliesin and Evatel.
Nice. So while she's over there being all pregnant, you two can just go and have your fun, and she just has to sit there and just get pregnant and
you know,
cranky.
That was my pitch to Taliesin. I'm like, man, you've got a lot of responsibility about to come up. You know, if you start a new project, you'll have one more excuse to geek out about World of Warcraft. And yeah, he was like, that's all I needed to do. No, of course, that's not what actually happened.
Sure.
As a wonderful, wonderful partner. Yeah. But yeah, we're starting it. And basically, the elevator pitch is that WoW Killer will be a single topic WoW podcast. So every episode will just be a single topic that we kind of dive into and talk about. And the first episode, it's really freaking long because we decided we should do the 15th anniversary of WoW and kind of talk about our histories with the game. And it went really freaking long. Don't expect future episodes to be that long.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's the beauty of podcasting. You can go as long or as short as you want, and then you know, people just have to deal with it. Anyway, yeah, go check it out. The name is WoW Killer, correct? And they can find it everywhere. Do you have a website for it yet, or any of that? Place they can get an RSS feed, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would really appreciate it, even if you don't use Apple, to subscribe to it on either iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, because that gives us a big old like day one boost. So head on over to bit.ly/wowkiller.
Nice.
To do that. So
nice.
Thank you.
Nice. All lowercase.
You know,
yeah.
Every time Taliesin is in anything, I feel like I'm the godfather of whatever happens, because I feel like I liked them before they were known, which of course is not the case. They were very known when I started talking to you guys about them.
Yeah.
But still, I was like a month and a half early before they really exploded. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, he's such a good kid. And mm-hmm. it's so great that he's doing so well. I don't know. I feel some like parental feeling about
the words you're looking for is hipster. Patrick, you're what you're really trying to say, and you're failing miserably, is I liked them before they were cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That is absolutely the case.
Well, Patrick, so I'll give you
actually, that's how you feel about Taliesin and Evito.
Sure.
I'll rephrase it. I liked them before everyone else knew they were cool, because they were already cool.
Well, I'm going to say this. See? I'm going to give you some credit. I remember you talking about them way before anyone else was. So I think nice. You deserve them. The credit you're asking for.
and Benular as well. I'll take credit for him too.
Oh, okay. Good job.
That's okay.
He's how I found Taliesin and Evitel, because he just popped up randomly on my YouTube one day, and I was like, well, I'm on the instance. I guess I should start watching other WoW content now, because I hadn't. And then it suggested a T&E video afterwards, and I was like, oh, I really like this format. This is funny.
Yeah.
I remember Bellular, it was, I think, at Legion, when Legion was getting started, and he was getting out so many videos. It was insane. Like, he was the best resource for, like, hardcore news about the expansion. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But also, anyway, he uses very nice cameras, and I love his shallow depth of field. It just makes me feel good.
Oh, nice. We definitely don't have that on our webcams today, so enjoy our crappy depth of field. Anyway, well, that's fantastic. I'm excited for you. That's awesome. I will definitely check it out myself. Again, that's WoWKiller, everybody. Go look for it. Would you say bit.ly/WoWKiller, right? Is that it? Yeah.
Indeed. Thanks. Thank you for teeing me up for that. I appreciate it.
No worries. Patrick, your question now. It's a WoW-related question. During this holiday season, Patrick has a question for us.
A question, which is, so I haven't been playing a lot of WoW in a while, and I want to get into the 15th anniversary raid to get that awesome Deathwing mount.
Yeah.
And I got into the Nazjatar, is it, the zone, and I'm doing everything, but I don't know how to get rings, and my eye level is too low. I'm like 870 or 860, so I can't get into the raid. I'm very frustrated, and I don't know where to get those freaking rings. So my super noob question, which you can all laugh at, and that's fine, I understand it is dumb, is where the hell do you get those rings? It's very frustrating.
I don't know, because I haven't made any effort for that raid, but Garrett might have. Garrett, have you made an attempt? Are you going for the mount? What are you doing over there?
I mean, I'm just high enough item level to go into the raid anyway without trying. I haven't had to go digging for rings. I kind of just have them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know the answer to that question either. I didn't have to, like, go searching for rings specifically.
Chat room
there's
says,
so many ways chat, to get...
Hmm? Well, chat room says world quests are your best friend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, actually, that's...
Because I guess maybe the three times I tried, there wasn't a ring in the world quest. So I was like, is that like a special thing? Like, they gate rings from, they gate them somehow and you need to do some specific stuff. Okay, well, world quests. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, here says they got a 405 ring on a world quest a few days ago. Like, I was talking to Patrick before the show. I have this, man, WoW and I are having a weird relationship right now, because when when WoW Classic hit, I played that for 3 hours and then got completely reinvigorated in the main retail game. And I played, and as everyone knows, if you listen to the show, I talked about it a lot. And I played and played and played, like, hardcore. And then the BlizzChung thing happened. I'm not even sure it was related, but that happened and I stopped. I went, I'm annoyed. I'm going to go do something else. And I haven't really gone back. And the other problem is, since then, a new expansion's been announced. And whenever that happens, I go cold anyway. Every time I kind of go, oh, okay, well, I think I'm good for a while. Meanwhile, you know, Garrett's streaming 3 days a week, freaking Classic, and probably finally out of where were you so long? You were in the desert for a long time.
Well, it sent me back to Stranglethorn Vale, which I am not thrilled about. And the quests that I am now at like the 48 to 49 cusp, are horrible.
Yeah, they're ridiculously
some
bad.
Of the worst things ever designed.
I have memories of that from back in the day. So dude, I'm just kind of in this.
Oh, my God. The 45 hill is real. Yeah.
I mean, you're at least, it's in within striking distance, though, right? You can feel it. And that's
I just want to be max level.
Yeah.
I just want to be freaking max level.
When you do, though, what's your plan? We haven't even talked about this.
I want to run dungeons. Okay. I really, because I never hit max level in actual vanilla. I got to like 50 something. I don't remember. Maybe 54.
Yeah.
Like I remember back in the day, pining after the hunter dungeon set with like the like kind of Maiev looking blades on the shoulders, and like I just want to get that because it's what I wanted back in the day, and I never got it.
Yeah, well, you're closer than ever. 10 levels, 11, 12 levels, whatever it is, you're almost there. But I what was my point with all that? Oh, so so Patrick's question is kind of funny because I have missed all of the what do I need to do for that raid. And I had fully intended on doing whatever anniversary stuff that came. I'm just having a hard time motivating myself. And I don't know why. And I've been cheating on WoW with Elder Scrolls Online, which I don't have to talk about much. But just a little bit of cheating on the side going on. And so, the WoW wife and I aren't really talking. She's kind of making bad looks at me. She quit making me breakfast. I don't know how it's going to go long term. But we'll see. I should probably not do that. Someone's going to assume me and my real wife are having problems, and we're not. We're as far from having problems as possible. Anyway, well, that's great. Now, so Patrick, you are actually playing now then. That's a change because you had a big chunk
of
time.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I just really want that that mount. So I was like, I have to at least get to 80 and do that.
Yeah.
Also, check your other armor as well, because I know you've taken a break for a while. Just like go get benthic gear, man. Like it might be upgrade.
That's what I did.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, yeah. Now you're just look at world quests and when
I think the benthic. Yeah, exactly. The benthic is everything but the rings, and that's why I got.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now you're just logging every day and check your world quests. It'll pop up eventually.
That's good. Taking advantage of your catch up mechanics. That's pretty awesome. But I'm having, just so people know, this isn't just a WoW problem. I'm having this problem with Diablo. This new season, I was stoked about the season. I was ready to go.
And then, tu veux dire bonjour, Loulou?
Oui, oui. Poupou.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Encore? Tu dis encore? No?
No.
No, c'est fini. Okay. Well, you got one bonjour.
I love it. He's welcome to do that anytime, by the way. If we get a bonjour from a little tiny French kid, I'm in.
The thing is, he gets into the room, and if I don't let him do something, then he just, gets angry and runs around, and he never gets out. So at least now you get a bonjour, and then he goes to eat. And
nice. That's what
I'm
you're
dying. Before. My heart is actually melting into my chest cavity.
Mine's cut in half, so my heart reacted differently. It's older and more crusty and hard. Anyway,
do I get one half, or does Patrick get one half?
Oh yeah, you guys can have half my heart, and that's fine. Yeah, what will you do with it?
We'll share.
Will you do experiments on it? Will you try to replicate its many aspects and deep complexities?
I'm gonna clone Scott Johnson so that I heart? yeah, so that you can have double the shows.
Oh hey, that's a great idea. I could use a little of that right now. All right, I'm in.
Will be the start of the Scott Johnson Destiny podcast.
Yeah.
And the Scott Johnson, the Instance Elder Scrolls edition.
Yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
And
if I had that kind of, if there was a way to do that, I would do that across the board for everything I'm into. I'd have a show for everything I love.
But have a daily Mad Max Fury Road podcast where every episode is just one really specific fact about the film Fury Road.
I'd do that with you, no problem.
Yeah, we'd have Patrick on, and we'd have an episode called, the title would be, I Had a Baby Brother, and He Was Perfect in Every Way. And then all we'd do is talk about Rictus Erectus and his poor baby brother that didn't make it, and there's your episode. Nope. I'm very excited.
A weird mouth thing he has over his jaw.
Yeah.
Creepy, and I don't like it.
I freaking love Rictus. All right, anyways. So where were the hell were we? Oh, yeah. So anyway, it's all very exciting, except I'm feeling that same thing with Diablo where I'm like, oh, four's coming. Now I'm not really in the mood. So I'm cheating on Diablo and playing like Grim Dawn again and things like that. It's a weird, I'm in a weird place. This isn't me going, meh, Blizzard games, meh. It's me going, there's new things on the horizon. The only exception is I am playing more Overwatch right now, weirdly. And in light of a new Overwatch game coming, it's weird that I'm actually, oh yeah, I'm getting back into Overwatch and having fun in there. So, you know, I'm not completely Blizzard free at the moment, but it's an odd, I'm in an odd place.
I guess that kind of makes sense because Overwatch, the sequel is kind of just adding on to what we already have. So mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as much of like you're waiting for a newer, better version of the game as much as like a Diablo 3 to Diablo 4 is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway.
It's still going to be Overwatch at its core.
Indeed.
Also, we haven't been playing Overwatch for 15 years. So the moment-to-moment gameplay is maybe a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Although you're clearly doing it wrong because Battlegrounds is like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, and I am playing that. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that.
Massive patch last night.
Yeah, that game's great. It's my as far as I'm concerned, it is Hearthstone for me. I should have mentioned that. I am playing that. And I'm playing on my phone.
I don't think you're alone. I think for most people, it is Hearthstone for them right now.
I think it's. I mean, do you ever worry or wonder if like internally they're like, oh, this mode's too good because no one's playing the main game anymore, which means we're selling less packs, which I know you can.
I think it's got to be nothing but good for the game because there weren't a lot of ways to keep players engaged outside of the ladder grind if that's what they were into.
Yeah,
that was all the game really was for the vast majority of Hearthstone players.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are just terrified of Arena. To a certain degree, I think rightfully so. It's difficult to play Arena well.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is kind of what I think the game needed almost like a year ago.
Yeah.
But it is here and it is very good and I'm loving it.
Wasn't on my bingo card that it would be the thing that would turn me. But man, am I into that. So I forgot about that completely. I am playing that. I'm not good, though. I'm terrible at it. That's the thing I wanted to mention.
You need the packs in order to get the bonuses.
Right.
What's your experience, Garrett? Do you think people get them for the bonuses or is it less necessary than we might have expected?
I'm going to have a really, really like I'm in a bubble for that. Like most of the folks I talk to about Hearthstone, they spend money in Hearthstone.
Right,
and so like to get the third hero offered, which is the only thing that actually, you know, increases your likelihood of winning the game because one more hero offering is a better chance to get a hero that doesn't stink. That's only 20 packs. You only have to buy 20 packs. That's not that much, I think, to an average Hearthstone player.
Yeah.
So, I haven't.
So they still get those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard from anyone. Like, no one's written in the Angry Chicken and been like, I can't believe I have to buy 20 packs to get it. No one. No one's even mentioned it.
Yeah. Mm. I don't even mind spending money on 20 packs. And I normally don't buy cards in that game. So
20 packs is what, like 15 bucks, 16 bucks?
I honestly do not know because I spent hundreds of dollars on every expansion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're a true freak. Yeah, but I guess.
I'm not the Hearthstone player of the people.
Yeah. I really want to play that right now, just talking about it. That's how great that mode is. So well done, Blizzard. You figured out a way to get me and a bunch of other Hearthstone sort of meh people off the fence.
You can queue with a friend. We should go in together, Scott, and I'll give you some pointers.
You might need to because I don't win very. In fact, I never win. I've won no games. I've gotten third once. And that's the best I could do. Everything else has been pretty abysmal. Lots of eights, lots of sixes, sevens.
I went on a mad climb last night post-patch, so yeah. I think I've got a pretty good handle on things. So if you want some pointers, just give me a poke.
All right. Poke you for some pointers. That's the new phrase. All right.
That's coming this fall to ABC.
Coming this fall. Poking for pointers. Hey, let's talk about World of Warcraft real quick. There hasn't been a ton of news, so a lot of this stuff, which we kind of had prepared a week ago, is still legit. We are finally going to be able to transmog legendary weapons and armor appearances in 8.3, which is exciting because people have been asking for that for a very long time. This is on the PTR, but Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker, that's a tasty idea, isn't it? That makes you want to lick your lips and kiss your uncle.
You know, roll a melee class and just go grind it just for the transmog?
Kind of. It's amazing. Legendary transmogs are account bound. That's an important thing to know. class restrictions still stand. So Warglaive, Shadowmourne, that sort of thing. But you're stuck with whatever those restrictions currently are. Legendaries like Valinir, and Dragonwrath can be transmogged by any class that can use the weapon. Those were class restricted quests at the time, right? You couldn't get them.
The quests to get them were class restricted, but like they're not, the weapons themselves are not class restricted. So if you got them, you can transmog them onto another class that can use that weapon class that didn't have access to the quest. That's kind of the nice little exception there.
The funniest thing just happened. Sorry, I have to tell you this. So while you're talking, in the background, I didn't realize what it was, but I have a Slack window that somebody put a GIF in, and it's animating behind everything. And for some reason, I thought this was your video behind here, and it looks like you are freaking out physically in this GIF. So
is it me?
I click. It's not you. It's some other dude. I finally clicked it, and it's a guy who's like leaping over a branch of a tree. It's like nothing to do with us. But this whole time I'm thinking, man, that's a really active Garrett back there. And I'm afraid to look at what he's actually doing. And it wasn't you. It was never you. It's just a weird little thing. I just wanted to get that out of my head so I don't have to think about it anymore.
Well done.
Yeah, you're holding perfectly still over here, which is where I should have looked. Anyway. what else? The Mighty Caravan Brutosaur going to Black Market in the auction house. Or the Black Market auction house in Shadowlands. Are we excited about that? I can't remember how this thing looks.
A lot of people aren't, but I was never going to afford the long boy in the first place, so this doesn't really affect me.
Let me look at him. I can't get it to open. Blizzard's forums are really slow today. Something's up over there. They got like a problem. Anyway, I can't look at it. I'll show you, Chad, if I can bring it up, but that's the thing that you'd be able to get. A feat of strength was data mined from the PTR, which leads to a thread on the forums. This is from CM Kvax, who responded. We all know him as Randy Deluxe. He says this: like all dinosaurs, the Mighty Caravan Brutosaur days are numbered. I can confirm that when Shadowlands goes live, the shady vendors, Talutu, I never say that right, and Tricky Nick will cease selling it. Their other offerings, the Lost Platosaur Pet and the Palehide Direhorn Mount, will remain available for purchase.
I would like to point out, like not all dinosaurs.
No, not all. Hashtag not all
clearly,
dinosaurs.
Yeah. A lot of dinosaurs are sticking around.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good hashtag. I think you should use it in your next tweet. Hashtag not all dinosaurs.
Randy, this should have started like only this dinosaur. The Mighty Caravan Brutosaur stays your number.
It goes on to say, we will make sure that the unforgettable Brutosaur mount is added to the list of possible items that are sold at the Black Market auction houses. And, of course, this new achievement, conspicuous consumption, is a feat of strength. So as such things go, it's not actually very conspicuous, says Kvax, a.k.a. our old pal Randy.
It's important to understand the purpose of that mount. It was a gold sink, like a super huge gold sink, because I think they're still not completely they haven't managed to deplete the gold of all the people that got so much gold in Legion with the barrack things.
Legion, you mean Warlords, you mean the
in Warlords,
freaking Warlords. What were they called? Sorry. Shoot.
The thing.
Your housing, your place, your stuff.
Missions.
Your missions.
Oh, garrison.
Garrison.
Oh, garrison. Oh, garrison. Yeah. That was a money making game.
Of course you remember the garrisons because you're Garrett.
No, I remember it because it killed World of Warcraft for me for almost a year. Yeah. It was the longest break I ever took from this game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely a gold sink. And the reason for that it exists is to get people to spend their money. And the fact that it's going away is to get people to spend their money because they have to get it before it goes away. So I understand people being angry because people are always angry. But it's not a mount that you create just to get a cool mount. There is another function, a game design function in the game. And so it's not that surprising that they're encouraging you to spend money to get it.
Yeah.
So
I always feel like the game actually benefits from creating scarcity like this, even though people get pissed off about it. It at the very least makes it so that those who already have a thing feel like they got it and it's something cool and now you can't get it anymore. I mean, I'd be mad too if I cared about this particular mount, but I also...
I mean, I honestly, if you haven't gotten it yet, right. Are there many people who are working towards their $5 million and then are going to spend all of it on the mount?
Well, apparently they're all on the forums, the people you're describing. They all use the forums. Yeah, I don't know. It's once again, one of these things is probably not that big of a deal. We'll see if it blows up further, but...
One of those. It's another one of those instances where I very much understand the public pushback,
yeah.
Even though I don't agree with it. Like I could have. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
this made a certain section of the player base angry. Of course it did.
Yeah,
it's just how these things go.
Yeah, name anything. You take it away or make it harder to get, and you're mad. So.
Yeah, I mean, it bugs me out a little because I'm like, I don't know, I might eventually make $5 million, but definitely not by the end of this expansion.
No.
Like, I would like to have it, but whatever. Like, if I really need a vendor mount, there's plenty of vendor mounts still in the game that are negligible gold costs to go get. Like, that's...
Let's do a quick money count. Who's got what in the bank? I got like $300K. That's all I have.
I've got $60K on retail. I do not give a crap about making money.
I hate making money in the game, but admittedly, about $100K of that someone gave me because they'd left the game and they're like, I don't know what to do with this money, and they gave it to me.
I remember. Yeah, you mentioning
but,
that.
But the rest of it
comes up every time we talk about money because I don't want people to believe the lies that you made a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
although
true.
You tripled it, so I guess you are.
I did okay. I do a lot of skinning. I sell a lot of skin, and I do make good money on skinning. I actually tried to do that. I don't care about over the years I've said many times on the show I do not like World of Warcraft's professions. I think they are grindy and boring, and I don't like them at all. And I never have. So gathering though, that's a different issue. I don't mind doing that, and you can make some pretty good money, especially early in an expansion when that stuff is rare. I do that, but that's about it, and that's. You know, that's where the rest of that money comes from. But then again, I don't really have much to spend it on because anything that's under a 300K, I either already have or don't want. And the stuff I really want is like 5 million. So it's just going to.
You want the long boy.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I guess I kind of do now that you say it. You know, because then I could do my skin auction house work right there in front of me. But yeah, I don't think again, this is going to make some people ticked, but I'm not that worried about it.
I mean, I've never done skinning before, and that's what I picked up on my Hunter in Classic, and now it's like I get it. I'm like, oh my god, had I done this from the beginning, I probably would have been a lot more like positive about gathering professions because it's like you put skinning on a Hunter, it just works. It's just natural.
It is.
Like, what are you good at? I don't know, killing stuff.
Yeah,
because what happens when you kill stuff?
You skin it.
Yeah, you get to skin it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
It all represents money, and you don't have to, it's not like you're looking around the map for a thing like mining. Or for, you know, herbalism, or for, not herbalism, but for what's it called? We gather herbs?
Herbalism.
Herbs the same way. Yeah.
But isn't there there's a term. What's the word for just
herbalism?
Herbalism.
Is it just gathering herbs is called herbalism? Or is herbalism the full?
Yes. In the game, yes. In the game, profession is literally called herbalism.
I don't know why that's throwing me in my head. But anyway, yeah.
Are you thinking of alchemy? Because that's how you make potions, but you need herbalism to gather the stuff.
For some reason, my head, herbalism's further down the road, and there's another basic term for just grabbing the weeds and selling them. But
you
I can't
remember like the old days of the instance where you just wanted to say herb just to make people mad?
Oh, I remember. Well, it wasn't me. I was always herb, and Randy was herb, and the adventures of herb and herb did not, you know, did not go well.
Herbalism.
The audience.
The herbalism.
Herbalism.
Got to level my herbalism.
Yeah, he was really into herb. Anyway, the point is, I don't like those ones where I got to find them around the map, but I love it that almost everything I kill I can skin, and I've argued for years that we should be able to skin humans and orcs and every other kind of, anything with skin should be skinnable, is what I'm getting at. Like, it doesn't have to all be just, like, horses and dogs and stuff. I guess there aren't really many horses and dogs to skin. But you know what I mean? It shouldn't just have to be animal-mammal types. It should be Naga. Give me some Naga skin. Why not?
Because if you're a night elf, you're basically skinning your evolved ancestors. Like, it's kind of messed up.
It's totally messed up, but I want to do it. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think it was, there were just some, you know, kind of nasty implications that they didn't really want to bring into the world of Warcraft by allowing that.
I could see that. Sure. Good news, everybody. Communities and guild and communities finder is now live. When they say live, is that PTR still? Hold on. No, that's in the game.
It is in the game, yes.
All right. Looking to apply? Well, search for guilds and communities based on your preferences, such as raiding or PvP, guild size, and other class roles they're seeking. Interesting. Apply with a note about your specialization so officers can review your application. You'll be able to apply to multiple guilds and communities that you are eligible for. Boy, if this sounds fine and it's a thing they talked about and we're excited it's in the game and stuff, this sounds crazy if you go back 10 years. Go back to 2010 and say, oh, this is what we're going to do to guilds and communities. Back then it was, you can't have more than, remember 2010 was the year they said, you can't have more than 600 people in a guild anymore. And our guild lost their minds. That was 10 years ago, you guys. Holy shite.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was wild.
That was wild.
I wasn't in AIE at the time, but I remember following the story of it on this show.
That's where Greenwall came from. We had to develop this thing out of nothing. We had to figure out a way to manage 9-10 guilds, whatever it was, because the one guild was too big, and so we had to split it out. Now it's still in that form. It's still like 9-10 guilds, whatever it is now. And I don't know. It just feels like yesterday, but I guess that was 10 freaking years ago. Anyway, are you looking for applicants? Let's say you're a recruitment officer. Well, creating a post, a posting for others to apply to, or even auto-accept applicants from communities. Don't have recruitment privileges? Well, you can use the new chat link feature to advertise the listing through the through chat channels. Hop into, I don't know, Barons and just start spamming your hot new guild. Probably won't get anybody out there, but still. Do it if you want.
I like the community tab. I haven't had much use for it recently, but if you remember when BFA launched, we used it a ton for like world PvP groups, and then we did a raid. We cleared Uldum using just the community tab.
That's right. That's totally right. We did.
It was very cool.
Yeah, it's good. I like to see them add stuff like this, and I hope it continues to grow, because one of the complaints about the game in recent years is that, you know, stuff's so cross-server now. You're in, you know, it's all the things of the classic lovers hate, which is, you know, we're split from each other, we're alone together basically, and it makes it so everybody can get into everything when they need to and they don't have to wait around for stuff on a low pop server. But it has its disadvantages, and that is, you know, communities don't really thrive as much as they used to. So the more they add to that and the more features we get that are community driven, the more happy I am. So that's good. Also, we are getting an infinite augment rune in 8.3, confirmed by Ian Hazakostas himself. We must be exalted with the new Rajani faction, and the rune will cost 50k gold. So, Garrett, you'll have 10 gold, 10k left after this.
I will probably not be buying this unless I go on a gold-making spree, which I might, because I'm a day away from finally unlocking flying.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought you were done for some reason. I thought...
I was very annoyed with it, and then, I don't know, I was just like, I've been away long enough, I can go, I've got a little rep grind in me.
Yeah.
So I went and did it, and no one told me how quickly Mechagon, like, snowballs in terms of how fast you start getting rep.
Oh, it does.
It starts snowball. Off like the faintest trickle.
Yeah, it gets better quicker than certainly more than Najdhatar does.
Yeah, well, I did so much Najdhatar right at the launch of the patch, just because I like the zone so much. I think I had like 4 days left to hit revered, and so I kind of got it really quick when I came back. I'm like, oh, well, damn. Like, unless I want exalted, which I don't really care about, all I need to really worry about is Megagon. So I'm damn near done.
So Patrick, now that you're messing with those two new zones for reasons, how do you feel about those? We never really got your take on the Megagon and Avatar experience.
They're okay, unless there are stuff that I didn't understand in Najdhatar. I don't really understand what the, you know, people are very, very positive about Najdhatar, and I don't really get that. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't see what makes it, I don't know. I don't think people are saying it's better than anything else, but it just, I don't understand why there's been so much excited, positive buzz about it.
Mm. Garrett will tell you that it's better than Mechagon, which I will disagree with him.
Well, it
on.
Is. Yeah. I mean, it's better than no, this, I, thing, I like this expansion. Better. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Wait, the best zone in the expansion. Is that what you're really saying to me? Is that what you're saying?
Najdhatar is the best, and Mechagon is literally the worst. I think 8.2 was just, it was the pendulum. Here's the other opposite ends of the zone pendulum, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. I don't know what to make of that in the whole expansion. Whew, I have to think about that one. I don't think it's...
I would make a case for Nazmir. Because yeah. That creepy swamp is amazing.
Yeah, Nazmir is really cool. That's probably my pick, actually, now that you say it.
I really like Nazmir.
It was really creepy. Fun. Yeah, it was good. I also like the... What's the haunted town alliance side thing? Duskvar.
Yeah,
Drustvar.
Drustvar, there you go. That's an amazing.
There's another R in there. Drust.
Yeah.
Drustvar. Yeah, Drustvar is incredible.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely incredible. And they also have the best dungeon.
I agree. That dungeon where you fight the fat guy covered in books or whatever he was doing in there. Remember that? That's the dumbest explanation. I can't think of the name of the thing, but whatever that dungeon is very good.
It's oh my lord. Waycrest Manor.
Fat guy at the end covered in books is my memory. Was it books? I don't remember. It's been a while, guys. Let's see. Oh, the big controversy since we last spoke has been this WoW Classic Honor stuff. Big issues. So there was a miscalculation, basically the numbers problem for Honor and WoW Classic, which has just launched. It hasn't been out that long. And then they did a big reset. This was a week and a half ago now that was supposed to fix the miscalculation. According to WoWhead, though, it points out the two reported issues are still happening for some players. Not all honorable kills from phase two are being used for honor rate calculations. And while other US players are experiencing delays, seeing their ranks in game, which prevents them from purchasing important honor rank rewards like insignias. There's a bunch of stuff that people think is broken that's actually as designed and not a bug. As usual with Classic, it's sometimes hard to know, you know, the difference because they're trying to recreate the original experience and some of that stuff seems broken, but that's how it was.
Yeah, it is important, though, like there are definitely still bugs. Like it's not showing a lot of kills.
Right.
And I think it was a couple of days ago, it was a Pazarax on the forums got in there and was informing basically said, like, TLDR, that they're very close to fixing it, and they're like, don't worry, your kills are recorded, they're just not displaying correctly, essentially.
Yeah, they said, we have them, we know how many kills there were 100%, so don't panic about that. It's the data repair, and then you seeing it, you know, actually seeing it and having it to spend is the issue right now, for some players, or maybe most players, or maybe even all players, but there seems to be a delay and a sense that what you're doing isn't being recorded, but it is. So that's, I guess, one good heads up from them. But that's been like all the talk in the last few days. So
yeah, Pazarax too is like this wasn't like a CM comment, like just putting a message out there. Pazarax is actually a dev and got pretty into the nitty gritty of what the issue is and what caused it. So yeah. Go check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, there's a whole thing to read. All right. And we're hauling through this because now we got this. Whoops. Where is it? All right. That familiar music to the hot game Battlegrounds. You may have played it. we're going to talk about all the other things going around Blizzard. Let's see what we got. Overwatch. I'm playing it a bit. Not a lot to report, though. There's, I don't know, it's kind of quiet over there. Patrick, you're still dabbling.
Yeah, there's a big patch coming. They're essentially reworking how tanks work. Mm. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but barriers are going to be a lot less important. They're nerfing barriers and giving the tanks that rely on barriers a lot of things to compensate for that. But essentially, the meta has been a lot of barriers, so a lot of waiting around to break the barriers, and then everyone rushes in. That's not going to work anymore. So I think for people who don't really care about Overwatch, it's not going to make them care. But if you do, then it's a big deal.
They data mined a new Reinhardt line that went from, get behind me. Now it says, get behind me, but only if you're brave. Because now his thing doesn't work as well. It's a terrible joke. Let's move on. Hearthstone, we talked about it a second. There's a big patch.
Literally everything is happening, and I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, it's a lot, right? There's a lot happening.
Tuesday, a new expansion, Descent of Dragons, comes out. And the pre-patch happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Which also brought with it massive changes to Hearthstone Battlegrounds.
Mm.
So, a bunch of new cards. There's so many new dragon cards coming in Descent of Dragons that there will be... there's got to be multiple competitively viable dragon decks for multiple classes. There's just too many. I don't know. have some of my early suspicions, but God, there's just got to be multiple dragon archetypes that are going to come out of this just with how many damn dragon cards are coming in.
Yeah.
And then we've got three new heroes and battlegrounds and a ton of balance updates. So like if you haven't been paying attention, if you get into battlegrounds, keep an eye on what your hero powers do. Keep an eye on what certain cards do, especially if they were particularly popular before, because the chances are they were probably balanced, unless it was Brand Bronzebeard, who is totally broken and I can't believe didn't get nerfed.
Yeah, I heard that about him. He's kind of a bastard.
He is a total bastard, and he's in every game, because if he gets offered to you as a hero, you just take Brand.
Yeah.
Best hero in the game right
now. That's kind of broken.
Is that frustrating? Like, if the balance on the heroes is that wacky,
it's very frustrating. You
have eight people to fight against, I guess there's a high probability that you're going to get a hero that's objectively better than all the others, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to a certain point, yeah. I don't think they're ever going to achieve perfect parity. And honestly, I think it's part of what makes the game fun is... Mm. Some of my most fun games I've had is when I was offered three options of what I think are all crap heroes and having to make them work. Like, I've gotten really good with the Lich King, who I think is kind of a mid-tier hero, but he just keeps getting offered to me against two other significantly worse picks. And it's been fun, like, figuring out how to get the most mileage out of what I see as a relatively subpar hero offering in the Lich King. But
sure.
It's not that frustrating to get a bad draft, I guess, because it's fun even if you lose, or is it like it's still new and people are...
It can be frustrating. Well, when I think draft, I think of the actual minions themselves, and that can be very frustrating if you get a particularly bad draft. But that can happen no matter what hero you are. But it can be a little frustrating. Right now, I'm just sick of seeing Bran, the hero, because he is in every game I play.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm the problem, because if Bran is offered to me, I'm definitely picking him.
Of course, you're taking him. Exactly. See, this is the downfall of the best part of that mode, which sets it apart from the other auto battlers, in my opinion, which is the hero system is really cool. But it's that whole new level of balancing that now Blizzard has to juggle that the other games just haven't had to worry about as much. I mean, because you've got the actual game itself to balance, and now you got these heroes to balance on top of it. It's hard, but it's awesome. It's the best part of that thing. So I hope they can just get it just a little closer to parity real quick. You've done pretty well with the main game with that. So let's just do, you know, a little tweaking. You'll get it.
Right now I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like, Brand to me really stands out. Maybe Curator, but I have no idea what you would do to balance Curator. Yeah. This is Amalgam is a 1-1, and like, you've got, what do you do? You make it a 0-1? I guess you could.
But. Sure. Well, then I still appreciate Life Coach Bob. He's really, really helping me through my trouble.
You're talking about the now ex Hearthstone player Life Coach. I'm like, wow, that's a deep cut from Scott Johnson about Hearthstone esports.
No, just that dude, the bartender. He's just such a positive influence in my life.
Actually, Patrick, you want to know what frustrates me more than anything else in this game is Bob the bartender telling me he thinks I can win this one when I definitely can't.
I'm so angry that he does this. I can't believe he does, and I can't believe you still support this game. I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye.
Yeah, that guy. He's just, right up till the end. I know you can do this. Good luck. And then you're like, no, dude, I'm eighth. I'm gonna die here.
You can win this one.
Yeah, I think I'm just sitting there
on like seven tier one Murlocs, and it's everyone else is on tier five, and I'm just like, no, Bob, I don't think I can.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, what happened to your camera? That was something I did.
Patrick left.
Oh, Patrick, so are you gone? You out?
He's gone.
Oh, he just bailed.
He's not on the call anymore.
Oh.
He left as he threatened he would.
He could have just said goodbye. That's fine. I don't mind. So I'm looking at his thing right here. It says he's playing Overwatch. Oh, now he's off. So now I can't tell if he's playing Overwatch. I think you forget the Discord. I can see in Discord what people are playing while they're on shows with me. And I think he forgot that he could do that. It's fine. Whatever. You gotta grind out your season however you can do it. All right. What else here? Heroes of the Storm. Deathwing is out, and he's fun. He's a gimmick, but he's fun, but gimmicky, which means I kind of don't want to play him a lot, but I'm happy that he's there, and everybody went to BlizzCon or got the ticket, got a free Deathwing, and that's cool, but he's not the kind of character I want to play all the time. Does that make any sense?
I think he's going to end up being a very map-dependent hero once the craze wears off.
Yes, I agree. But he is definitely one of these guys. He's like the two-headed, I can't think of his name.
Chogall.
He's like Chogall, or he's like the Lost Vikings. He's just kind of a... how do I put this? It's not that it's not viable or you can't do something with him. It's just so gimmicky. And they're almost always BlizzCon heroes that these get released as. They do it this time, that time of year to get people all jazzed about a thing.
I mean, I would make a strong argument for Abathur was kind of the original one of these. He was just such a unique hero in the MOBA space. Like, I've never seen a hero that plays like Abathur in Heroes of the Storm. Right. And then we got Cho'Gall. And now we have Deathwing. I can't think of another one.
There another one? There's got to be one more that's like, oh.
Maybe Murky, because the way at the time, Murky was really revolutionary. The whole idea of like setting your egg and respawning almost instantly.
Yeah, that was pretty, he's pretty trolly.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others, though. Maybe those are unique. I don't think the game can have too many.
Oh, Lost Vikings.
Oh, yeah, Lost Vikings. Yeah, they're
hydro-panicked. And Lost Vikings was not a BlizzCon hero.
No, they were, that was early. Early on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's out in the game. Yeah.
There's the XP change. The XP globes, orbs that now fall out of minions.
Oh, right.
Which I would argue is a way bigger impact on... It literally changes the way the game is played, like, yeah, across the board.
It's definitely a thing you got to go after now. Like, it's a... It's not... Yes. You don't just get it because you killed a thing, especially if you're ranged or something. You actually have to go get your shit.
Yeah, mages, who used to be some of the best wave clear in the game, are now just leaving XP on the table, because if they go to try and get it, they are just leaving themselves open to die because you have to put yourself in harm's way to pick them up.
Mechanically, that's nuts if you think about it.
I think they killed my favorite hero, Zagara. I think Zagara is terrible now.
Oh no.
Because her health is just not high enough to actually go and collect the orb she's creating.
Oh, that's sad. Do you want to go one more time and just roll a bunch of banelings out of her vagina just one more time for old time's sake?
For the love of God. I had a really fun game with her on the PTR while Deathwing was in there.
Yeah.
But it felt like late game I was really good because I just kept us in the XP game and got us to 20 sooner. But it didn't feel like I was actually worth much until like post 10.
Oh,
and
wow.
like if you're going to pick someone to be a late game laning hero, there are heroes that scale way better than Zagara.
Yeah, that's true. That's a bummer. Well, they'll figure out a way to make her cool. I'm not worried about that. Diablo 3 is, I see a lot of friends playing the new season, a lot of them, and good for them. I haven't been able to get into it for whatever reason, I just can't do it, but good for them. It's a fun season, apparently. There's stuff going on in there. Something about chickens. I don't know what the deal is, but there's some kind of thing where chickens fly out of everything all the time in kind of some random way. I don't know what the deal is.
I haven't played Diablo in a year.
Well, it's been that long.
I thought
long.
About it. And I definitely haven't played Diablo 3 this year. And I don't know when I played it in 2018.
I've definitely played it multiple times every year, including this year. I just can't get excited about this new season. I don't know why. Just normally it's a thing I watch for and get into a bit. And then I just can't this time. As far as StarCraft is concerned, it remains a thing. And it's out there. And catch it.
Waiting on Manx.
Yeah. Waiting on Manx.
Waiting on Manx.
Yeah. That was an announcement that they just have not followed up on. Like, I don't know that they've said anything, have they, about release or what the plan is for the Minx?
When it comes, it comes.
Okay. All right.
When he hits the game, he hits the game. You don't really need to give us, like, drip feed one by one little previews of how Minx works. Just, we know he's coming, and when he comes, we'll get to play him.
I like your Zen approach to that. That's pretty good. We could all learn something from Garrett today. All right, check this out.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, time for us to, speaking of the town crier, all he wants to play is Halo Reach now that it's on PC. Because for that kid, he's 19 now, but Halo Reach was like a formative experience for him. So that's all the town crier wants to do right now. That's it. Halo
it
Reach.
It might be my favorite Halo.
It's my favorite Halo by far.
It might be.
Yeah,
campaign
wise, it's absolutely my favorite.
Yeah,
the multiplayer, whatever, it's all kind of the same. I think Strike or what was it called? Whatever they are, their Horde mode was maybe the first time that happened in that particular game.
ODST was the first time.
Oh, it was ODST? Okay, I also liked ODST a lot.
ODST is like a standout because they took such a different approach to it.
Yeah.
And also they have basically the entire cast of Firefly doing the voices of the team of ODSTs. Yeah. So it's fantastic.
It's very cool. Yeah, both of those are my two favorites, but I think Reach might be my favorite. Anyway, that's all he wants to do. So I'm going to read an email now. This is from Ethan. He sent us an email at theinstance@gmail.com. He says the following: "Hey guys, I just got BFA last Friday and I hit 120 on Monday. Did not expect it to go that fast." I mean, do you play solid for that amount of time?
I mean, we're not aware of how many hours.
Yeah. If all he did was play that during that period of time, I could see him hitting 120, but I don't know. Maybe we'd have to hear back from him. Anyway, he says, "I'm now grinding rep and achievements for flying. Unsure what else there is to do. What are some of the things that you keep your mind occupied through some of the more boring but necessary content? Currently, I'm binging on Grey's Anatomy while I quest," says Ethan. Well, I question your taste in TV shows. However, just kidding, it's fine. Grey's Anatomy's fine, whatever.
Different
strokes for different folks, exactly. For me, right now, my gaming thing in the background thing is Simpsons reruns from Disney Plus, because they're all there. And it just goes on forever, and I love it. And I'm like season 4 already, and I just have it on. So that's what I do. What are you doing?
I look at chat room in it, where I am informed that Manx is already in StarCraft 2.
Whoa! Yeah. When did that happen?
Apparently a while ago, I guess. Was streaming a bit, but everyone leaves my stream when I queue up retail to go grind. So
that's true, right? They don't care.
So
about
I do
grinding.
It in my own time, and that's when I catch up on podcasts, which I do not have time to listen to anymore. So
put on some good audio stuff that you need to catch up on. Absolutely, I do that too when I can. Actually,
yeah,
that's the reason I got to get on the treadmill and walk the dogs and stuff. Because
what do you listen to? I'm always curious what other podcasts listen to, because I've hit a point where I have very little time to actually listen to other podcasts, because I'm either editing my own podcasts where I can't listen, or I'm doing video editing for contract work, which I definitely can't listen to people talk while I'm doing that.
Well, for good or for ill, I don't listen to anything WoW or Blizzard related from anyone else. And I've never done that, because I don't know why I do that. I just don't. It's not because I have any kind of particular...
Well, it's because we have the best show. I mean, why would you listen to... when you do the best show, you don't need to listen to other shows.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But I did listen in the early days back in 06 or 05 or whatever it is. And I was trying to find a good show and I didn't like anything I heard. And that's why I started the show. But for whatever reason, maybe it's just because... it's so in your face all the time, you just don't want to hear more of it. I don't know, but I actually go for stuff very different. Like right now I'm really into this. So Slow Burn is a series over on Slate that they do various things. They did one on the Clinton impeachment. They had a whole series on Nixon's resignation. It's a lot of the historical stuff. Currently they're doing a whole series on the Tupac Shakur, Notorious B.I.G. thing. And I find that kind of stuff just fascinating. I love documentary podcasts. And that's my kind of jam right now. Trying to think of anything else. I like Reply All from Gimlet. I'm really fond of essay style, NPR-ish type stuff like that.
This was recommended to me by a friend. Multiple years, a friend of mine told me to listen to this, and I finally started. Have you listened to The Darknet Diaries?
No. I'll look for it now. Tell me about it. What is it?
Incredible. I think a good one for you would be listen to the one about the Xbox hackers.
Let's see.
Because the whole story about that is bonkers. And I think it's only 3 or 4 episodes back, because I think the guy only puts out 2 episodes a month because they are impeccably produced.
That sounds about right. That's what you would expect from something like that. What's it called again? The Darknet Diaries?
Yes.
Is it Darknet one word? Yeah.
Maybe. I'm opening up my pocket cast.
Well, there it is. One word. Darknet Diaries. This is Jack Reisider. Explore the dark side of the internet with host Jack as he takes you on a journey through the chilling world of privacy hacks, data breaches, and cybercrime. The masterful criminal hackers who dwell on the dark side show us how vulnerable we really are. Oh, yeah. This is right up my alley. I'm totally going to
check this
out.
They are all fantastic, but I highly recommend it. It's a two-parter. Episode 45 and 46 is the Xbox Underground.
Oh, and yeah, there it is.
I vaguely knew about this. I had no idea. It gets so dark and it goes so off the rails towards the end. Like the way he put it together, it's fantastic storytelling. And he interviewed most of the members of Xbox Underground, and a lot of them did hard time.
Wow.
For their hacking. It's wild.
That sounds
absolutely
crazy.
Wild.
All right, I'm in. I'm subbed to it. I'm going to listen to this. It sounds totally up my alley. This is exactly what I like. So, I like true crime podcasts. I like stuff that's just documentary style generally is my thing. I love Hardcore History. Dan Carlin's show is really good, although they're really long and take forever to get through. But, yeah, it's that kind of stuff.
I'm not big in the true crime, which I realized was like a big renaissance. Like in the recent years, that kind of brought podcasts to the masses, but like I just can't get into it. It's not my jam. Mm. But Dark Knight Diary, like what I liked, because I tried to get in the serial and all those, and I'm not big into true crime.
Yeah.
But I really respected the production.
Yeah.
And that's what Dark Knight Diaries is, like that level of production, but with stories that actually interest me.
I have a project I'm quietly working on the side, game related, but in this vein, that I cannot wait to tell people about. But it's going to be one of those where it's going to take a ton of work. Our buddy Justin Robert Young finally did his thing, and it reminded me I need to get off my ass and finish my project that I've been working on for years. So more news on that soon. Yes, I'm pulling a Johnson, but in that vein of stuff, if what we're talking about right now and you're hearing that and you're going, "Ooh, that sounds interesting to me." Oh, I got good news for you. All right. That's it for emails. Oh, and also to him, there's lots of things to do in the game. So you should go do some dungeons, run some content that's like, you know, LFR. Go do some stuff. Don't just fly. Don't just get flying and then be done with the expansion.
Speaking of Justin Robbing, you really should go subscribe to Raise the Dead, because the thing is tearing up the charts and you can help it continue to tear.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say that name. Raise the Dead is the name of the thing. It's about the election of Nixon, the election of John F. Kennedy. And 63, was it 63, whatever year it was, where he went up against Nixon. It was the famous, first televised, debates, all that stuff. It is a fascinating look at an election that is eerily like today's current climate, but flipped party wise. It's really interesting. If you like his political stuff at all, this thing is top notch and it reeks of hard work. Like, that's the other thing about it. I'm listening to it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, he really went all in on this. And it made me realize I've got no excuse to not get my project done, because he killed it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's inspiring to say the least.
Yeah.
And then you should go and help WoW Killer tear up the video game.
Yeah, get that WoW Killer up there. And then go leave a review on iTunes or wherever, what, Apple Podcasts for this show, because that helps get you back up in the ratings. You know, we used to be like number
one
and two.
Scott.
Yeah.
You should listen to the episode of Dark Knight Diaries called Chart Breakers, which is what got me into it, which essentially proves that iTunes reviews don't do jack shit for your rating.
Oh, shit. Really? Yeah. I was always...
It's wild. Okay. Yes.
All right.
You should go listen to it. That's a deep dive into how to pay on the gray market for like top iTunes rankings.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's... That one is also absolutely wild. That was the first episode I listened to and it got me hooked.
All right. I will do that. I had I'm not the only person to think this. This is a widely held belief that that recent reviews help push you up the charts. And now that you've said this, everything I knew was a lie. So well done.
Yeah. More like TLDR, more or less, is just new subs in X amount of time. It's the biggest thing.
That's right. A reminder, well, you mentioned it at the top of the show, but a reminder that this show is supported by you folks. We have a little homemade support system we made that works really well. All you got to do is go over to theinstance.net, click on the button, and boom, you're in. Lots of levels. You get artwork every month. I just finished up the new piece for this month. Really cool card back from Garrett. He made this amazing sort of Hearthstone-like instance card back. So you can get that. There's lots of digital rewards.
Inspired by the Forsaken armor set from the first Warframe.
I didn't realize that. Or maybe you've told me that before and I forgot. That's very cool.
I stole the palette. I just loved the purple and silver, and I just ran with it.
That's all right. Colors, here's my take on colors. Colors have no copyright. They are, everyone's eyeballs can see them, And so take
steel the pallets.
Steel pallets is what steel, I'm saying.
Play with them. They are puzzle pieces to play within. And they are wonderful.
I don't mean go to Walmart in the back where they get the shipments and steal those
no,
pallets.
No. Pay for those, please.
Pay for those pallets. Yeah, those pallets are not yours to take. But color pallets on the internet, it's all yours. Go for it.
Do some reading up on color palettes and then go find some art that you like and figure out what the palette is.
That's
and
right.
And then do your own work with it. It's such a fun little adventure to go through if you're into art.
This is all true. All right, that's gonna do it for us, everybody. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate your support. All those who already have, thank you. If you haven't yet, consider it. We're at theinstance.net. That's the website. You'll find that link and much more there. All our old shows, all that stuff, available at theinstance.net. Instant Show on Twitter, Garrett Art, not Patrick, and Scott Johnson on Twitter. And you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's gonna do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for the departing Patrick. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Forgotten Faction fixes funding fall-off in fabulous fashion. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Being a minor faction in a World of Warcraft expansion is definitely a mixed blessing. You get your moment in the spotlight with heroes doing your quests, visiting your villages, and grinding your rep, but all too soon the shadow of the next expansion begins to fall upon your world, and you know that soon the bustling streets around you will become a ghost town. The Consortium lived this sad fate a decade ago as the chill of Northrend cooled the fell fires of the Burning Crusade. Some have hung on, doing the odd bit of transmogging here, some dabbling in the void there, but their great commercial empire has definitely fallen on hard times. In an effort to reverse their flagging fortunes, the faction has pinned its hopes on a promotion tied to the 15th anniversary PvP event. Any time you make a purchase from a Consortium merchant, they will give you a slew of coupons for items that give you a one-time buff in Alterac Valley. In an effort to be environmentally conscious, the coupons are printed on long strips of the seemingly endless bandages that wrap around each wispy member, and they disappear into the ether that they were created from upon expiration. The coupons are called Consortium Victory Supplements, so at the start of every 5-foot-long coupon bandage, you'll find the initials CVS.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
And then, tu veux dire bonjour, Loulou?
Oui, oui. Poupou.
Bonjour. Bonjour.